Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic.
Not just another issue. It's issue number 50. This is a landmark issue.
It is indeed. Would this be a double issue?
I think so. I think we get to charge more for this one.
It's not an annual, though. But I mean, it'll be good content.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of $0, this now costs $0.0.
But it's going to be 6 hours long, so let's get started.
Strap him.
I hope it's not 6 hours long. Anyway,
yes,
I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
We drink beer. We talk about comics.
And we are Portographic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Issue 50.
Issue 50. 50. 50. 50. We don't have a sound effects person here, so we have to do our own.
I'm going to need everyone to crouch down on the floor and explode like fireworks.
Where was that at?
The Struts.
Oh, Jesus.
True story.
Oh, speaking of the Struts, did you hear that there's some unreleased footage of Freddie Mercury?
Freddie Mercury 1985?
No.
Yes.
Playing...
It's 100% 1985.
It was right after Live Aid. That was in the 90s.
Gonna
what
go
was
ahead
he playing?
Pull it up for you.
See, I had it, and then Brian told me I was wrong, so then I lost it. It's like, I don't remember.
It's exactly what you sent me right here.
Did I send it to you?
No, Eric did.
Oh, okay.
Time waits for no one.
Yeah. What year was that?
1985.
Okay.
Because what it is like...
Apparently, we're getting a clip. Brian doesn't know how to work his phone.
Yeah, apparently. Hey, Bixby. Thanks.
But go ahead and look that up, because it was sweet. Anyway, so you were saying something about the Struts? Oh, yeah, they explode like fireworks. Anyway, so we're going to move on.
Moving on.
The Freddie Mercury song is really cool.
The Freddie Mercury song is really great, and it seems to be...
Sorry, I'll pause it and then you can start talking and I'll play it again.
So what it was recently rediscovered.
It was Dave Clark.
Right. And so before they had him come in and record it with the full orchestra.
He's remarking that you're putting your elbow directly on your Batman comic, like you don't give a fuck whatsoever.
Sorry, I just had to twitch.
Do you actually bag and board your comics at home?
Yeah.
Okay, it's hurting me. Okay. It's hurting me a lot. It's physically making me...
You ever heard of have you ever heard
like
of
I'm
Chinese...
sweaty or something.
Have you ever heard of Chinese water torture? This is elbow on comic torture.
I just see him, like, taking the page and going, I'm going to rip it.
So anyway, yeah. So before it was recorded with a full orchestra.
And we've not even cracked a beer open yet.
We haven't even started the comics yet. Before.
It's a good Freddie Mercury song.
Anyway, so the story that I heard was Dave Clark had actually like lost the master tape. And so to this song, and so that's why it was never released, is because they had the video but no audio. Because
now, the video comes from the full orchestra thing. Like, they just had him record with a piano before they did the full orchestra. I think they just released the video to have something to look at while...
Oh, so you're saying...
It's the same video as the original version that has an orchestra and everything. But the song that they released is just him with a piano.
Is he playing the piano?
Not in this clip.
I think what he just said was is that clip is not what they've just released. It's supposed to be like a very acoustic-y, like stripped
it's
back
just
version.
Him and, it's just him and a piano is what we're listening to.
What
we're watching
is
the video actual concert that goes with the song that had a full orchestra with it.
It was for a movie or something, right? I think it was for a movie.
I don't know, but Queen did a lot of movie stuff because they did One Vision for Iron Eagle, And then they did the entire soundtrack for Highlander, which is absolutely one of my favorite soundtracks. It's good stuff.
Yes.
I can go deeper. Because The Hammer to Fall did not, was shown in the movie, but not on the soundtrack. All right, do we want to talk about comics so I can keep going?
Okay. Wow. So, yeah. Bro, you know too much. Did you ever see Queen?
No, I didn't get to, no.
Oh, that's depressing. Could you imagine being at, like, live at Wembley Stadium, dude? Like, what is that?
Man,
what is that, 100?
The coach's shorts with the half mic.
I know, but what is that, 100,000 people?
Oh, it's a big stadium.
Yeah, sure. That would have been awesome.
Like, dude, even if you were, like, halfway back.
I feel like he's just fucking with you now, dude.
Our first beer is
Canoe Paddler by Line and Kugels. It's a
how many people
show.
Fit in Bushwick?
Hey guys, 50's gonna be a train wreck.
the title. Ellipsis train wreck.
Alright.
Especially when I start, like, licking the covers of my comics here in a second.
Sir, how did you get that infection? Did you lick heavy
ink
metal?
Poisoning?
Did you lick paint? Nah, I licked the cover of my comic book.
That definitely tastes like a Kolsch.
All right. Yeah, I said it was a Kolsch style.
Yep. Ding!
Dude, you're really good at identifying what it tastes like a Kolsch. Okay, so Batman 73, it's an issue of Batman that is the 73rd.
Yes.
Where this is an issue of Pornographic, that is the 50th.
Yes. And I have one sentence wrote down.
I mean, I read them all today, so I wrote very little, but...
Questions. That's all I'm left with after this issue.
What questions do you have?
I wrote down 3 questions.
Okay. Oh, good. Let's go.
Why is Bruce okay with this?
With
what's going on in this,
he has no other choice.
Okay, this is not his real dad. Like, and
clearly,
so not real dad. Just dug up real mom to resurrect.
Yeah.
Also, how long does the Ra's al Ghul pool? Whatever it's called.
Yeah, why can't I? Lazarus Pit.
Like, she's been dead for years. Like, I thought it was like you had to get somebody there quick and even then it was like they could come back a little
squirrely.
Right. Yeah. So
bones
in
we're gonna deep soak. Gonna put her there for a deep soak. Weigh her down like a cat.
She's got the full week resort
yeah.
package at the Lazarus Pit.
Dude, I
dude, could you imagine like Ra's al Ghul open up a fucking day spa called Lazarus Pit? He's just nonchalant about it. He's like, welcome to Lazarus.
Why? I mean, so we end.
Fuck my
we end the last issue with like, what can I do to help you, Bane? To this issue, I've got Bruce, who apparently I tried to reconstruct your spine, and apparently he can just, because he's Batman that carries 45s, can just do back surgery on the fly.
I mean, he is a doctor.
To the point where you're throwing him on the back of your horse, and we're trotting across the desert, wiping out, you know, League of Assassin people. Mm-hmm. And, oh, hey, by the way, what's in the box? Oh, yeah, it's your dead mom.
Yeah.
Okay. This may be the first time I haven't been on board with Tom King in a half a minute, but I don't know that I'm on board here.
Well, my third question kind of goes along with what you were saying. Why the change of heart? Like, because he was fully in
Bane's camp.
Corner. And then all of a sudden...
So one of you had said... Maybe this is all a trick. That maybe Thomas Wayne is a triple
agent? Well, we're looking for who's the double agent.
Triple agent or whatever the fuck.
I was hoping it might be Catwoman.
So the only thing that gives me pause about this, and I hate to say it, is there's a line in there that Bruce asks him is this my dream or nightmare? And he says, it's a dream or a nightmare, whatever pronoun, but it isn't yours.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
whose is it?
Still in nightmares?
I hope not.
Yeah, because I really thought, cool, we're coming to some resolutions. We're, you know, we've put this time in and we're on board with your mission, Mr. King. At some point, I don't know what's real and what's not. Has Batman's back been broken? Has it not?
How much time has passed? We have no idea.
And I'm sure it will all come clear. And like next podcast, we're going to be like, all right, back on the King train.
But I hope so. But I was
a little befuddled by this one.
There's times, too, when I feel like he may use the songs and poems and fables a little too much.
And I was looking for what is this one?
Half of this issue was Flashpoint Batman singing Where the Buffalo Roam.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it looks beautiful, but why am I getting whole pages of him just singing that song?
With altered lyrics as well.
Yeah.
So I looked for, because I didn't want to miss another beep beep issue.
Right.
Yeah. I was trying to suss that out myself. And yeah. I don't know. Not coming off 72 that I thought was fantastic. And I think you guys were a little less high on. I wasn't real.
Well, because it was just a giant recap.
But I was okay with that.
Sure. And I was
because
too.
Because it finalized, like, Bane is, just in case you were wondering.
Yes.
He's been in charge of this plan since the beginning.
So, according to Tom King, he has confirmed that Catwoman returns to Batman's life in 75.
Yeah.
So, we will see post-haste.
The last variant cover, yes. I didn't pick up, but man, this one's pretty. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Marvel's Annotated Book 4 of 4. I have two statements about this book. This book is the price of being a hero or the price of winning at all costs. I can't decide which.
To me, I felt like this was a very touching book. we follow him through, okay, I don't like the superheroes. To, okay, maybe I'm on board with the superheroes. To, now I'm an advocate for the superheroes. I have to tell their story. To, kind of a loss of faith. When Spider-Man doesn't save Gwen Stacy.
Right, but finally gets Green Goblin.
Right.
So that's what I said. Is it the price of being a hero? Or is it the price of winning at all costs? Is the death of Gwen Stacy the price of being a hero? Sometimes you cannot save everyone.
Right.
Or is it the price of, I have to get the Green Goblin, therefore...
But I think he thought he saved Gwen, but yeah, it didn't work out for
her. The fact that she was even in that situation to begin with means that you cared more about getting the Green Goblin?
No, because the Green Goblin came and kidnapped her, dude. I mean, it wasn't like he's like, hey, I'm going to hang you out here for bait.
Yeah, but... I mean, we can spend a whole bunch more time on this, but like, to me, it's like, if you're a superhero and you have a girlfriend, she's immediately in danger because you just can't have
relationships.
So is it the price of winning at all costs?
But I don't feel like that's winning at all costs.
So then it's the price of being a hero.
It's the price of being a hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check.
Okay. There we go.
But I just can't speak highly enough of Alex Ross's art.
Oh, for sure.
It's just gorgeous.
And after reading all four books, I really do think you're right. Like, he could do like futuristic art or whatever, but that noir kind of.
Yeah, the 40s, 50s,
yeah.
That's where he really shines. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
his niche.
Like, they're art pieces.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know. All right. Gideon Falls, number 14. I cannot simply wait for this one. So
my first sentence was, The Doctor's in the Jungle.
What the fuck?
Tropic Thunder.
Okay. Am I wrong?
The Doctor's in the Jungle. The
doctor. His doctor from the first two arcs, that's the Lady in the Jungle.
No.
Oh, hell yes, it is. That's her, and she's older. That is the doctor.
Okay, now I'm on board, dude. You can't lead with the Doctor's in the Jungle. Expect me to catch up with you.
The Doctor's in the Jungle. Okay.
I didn't think that was the jungle. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking
whatever
about?
We're talking about, wherever this place is, it felt like
the town at the center.
So to me, this might be my absolute favorite issue.
It's really pretty fucking good.
You really start getting an idea of what's going on. The time travel shenanigans, you know, with the priest and the now bishop. Now it's starting to kind of make sense. And thank goodness, I mean, 14 issues in, we've stuck with it because you're like, there's a story being told here. And I may not grasp all the pieces of it.
I mean, there's this dude that's going around
picking up pieces of
picking up little pieces of wood and some nails, and I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Did we ever decide like that we actually know who that is?
Who?
The Norton? Dude that was...
The guy is who it, is claimed
to
be...
Or is it not the bishop when he was younger?
I mean...
Because it kind of looks the
same. Yeah, the art's crappy enough that it could be anybody. I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not great art. I appreciate what they do with the coloring and everything, but you can't... I'm not going to call that great art. We're not going to fight about it. It's my impression.
I think it still works for this comic.
It still works for the comic, but I'm not calling it Alex Ross art. I can't go for sure. Marvel's annotated and call this
wonderful. Sure, but still.
It works for this comic, but I'm saying it's ambiguous enough that could be Norton there. Who knows?
I don't know, man.
And this is weird enough.
I feel like if it was Norton, that she would have recognized him.
But she did. She says.
Because he's been there before.
Where does she say? I wish I could.
Anyway.
It's okay. I know you're scared. I know you don't understand much of anything. I was once like that too. But you will understand. You will do what is needed. That's not what I was talking about, though.
But yeah, it's obvious they know each other and they're
But he doesn't.
Yeah, she says, indeed, go on. I will see you very soon. But
and
when
I
do,
remember.
I won't know you yet.
Yes. So that could be the doctor.
When she first walks
she
up to
him.
Us, she doesn't know who
he
is. Yeah,
but he's like a man here. And Norton, well, the person we think is Norton is like a teenager.
No, I felt like he was in his 30s,
who
40s.
Was wearing
the mask.
Yeah,
and that was my thing. It's like, why is everybody wearing the mask? And then she takes it off when they're together in the chapel. It's still weird enough, but I feel like I'm getting more of a grasp on what's going on.
I hope I am. Yeah. But it's fun no matter what.
Absolutely. Yeah, dig it. Thank you for bringing it to the pod. We mocked you unmercifully.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure there's tape somewhere of that. Middle West number 8. Oh, Abel. You done. Fucked up, boy.
He keeps running. Dad keeps following. Angrier than ever. Evil squirrels? Evil squirrels.
Rodents.
Yeah. Evil squirrels.
Yeah.
I really love this book.
Hopefully they're friendly, but you know they're not.
No, they're not, because the people that killed them with the spears seem to not be happy with them.
So do you think that they're there to help him or not help him?
Who knows with this book?
For sure.
Who
knows? There you go. Indeed.
I do have to, and I'm going to just truncate it. Lots of people without faces. Got to knock that crap off. Draw a smiley face. I mean, seriously.
Here's what I don't understand. Like,
draw a smiley face.
I like Scotty Young.
Yeah.
But how does your book not meet your own artistic standards?
Well, the thing is, I don't have a problem with the art.
Well, I don't have a problem with the arch
because it's a cool stylized arch.
Sure, sure. That's not what I meant.
There were
like,
several panels with...
It's like, bro, like, just
smiley face.
It's like question mark face.
The blank face doesn't work for me. I get it. They're characters in the background, but whatever. Still, really good book. I think you need to revisit it. I mean, 8 issues in, I'm still just
I'll try
going
it again.
Super strong.
I did actually get it on Hoopla for a while and read the first couple, and it still just didn't...
And it may not. I mean, dude, there's books you read I don't like, vice versa. It's all different tastes, but I just feel like you're missing out on a solid book.
I'll give it another shot. I mean, I've got another week of summer school, so
Plenty of time.
I'll just pop that up on Monday and sit there and give it a shot again.
I don't feel like a ton happened in this one. I don't feel like a ton happened in the one before that, but yet I find myself just flying through the pages.
Yeah. I don't know why.
It's a good compliment to the story. Even though we're not seeing a bunch of progression.
I think it's a cumulative instead of like a stair step.
I think that's a good good analogy.
Moving on to Fair Lady, number 3.
Your thoughts, sir?
So it checks box number 1. Is it a Fair Lady self-contained story? Check.
Sort of.
Still, it is. Check.
Yes.
How you're cramping my style.
Sorry, bro.
However, in this issue, there's some foreshadowing to things to come.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had written down. I mean, it's still another self-contained story, but it opens up to an ongoing mystery buried deeper.
Yes.
I'm still really enjoying this book. And if you pressed me, I don't know that I could completely tell you why. Because
I don't know, but I was thinking about it like the other day. Like, could you imagine this as like a television show?
I was like, almost like a procedural.
Yeah.
Because you know, buddy cop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I like this. I like this idea. Anyway, yeah, I still like it. I don't know why either.
It's
just solid.
The first one, I felt like there was actually a mystery to be solved. The second one, I felt like they kind of rushed through the mystery. This, I felt like that as well, where the mystery was almost took second fiddle to the fact we're setting something up in the future.
Probably, but I didn't mind it that much.
Neither did I. I mean, if I was to look for a complaint, that would be it. But other than that, the art's solid. The story's solid. It's a good read.
For sure. Moving on to Little Bird number 4. All right. And moving on to Daredevil number 7.
I was talking about
I know, but do you really want to talk about Little Bird?
I really want to talk about Mind Haze IPA.
All right. Next beer is Mind Haze IPA from Firestone Walker. It's 6.2.
So we can sip on this one for a minute.
So I have a confession. I've had that beer before.
Really?
Yep.
Shame on you. Save all beers for the podcast.
It's very good.
Do not try new beers unless it's sitting here.
Says the guy who brought the new Axiom and definitely tried it at this.
No. No, I just
quickly
right
deletes
in.
Facebook post of him drinking it at new Axiom.
So, Little Bird Chapter 4.
Chapter 4?
Chapter 4.
Okay, man.
Bro, it says... Chapter.
Bro, I don't care what it says.
Okay. I'm going to need you to just take a peek at that.
Please, God, no.
I feel like I've had to take a peek at these each time.
Yes, but
I think it's because you are smarter than we are when it comes to choosing.
Well, but I mean, investment-wise, dude, this book is off the charts. I mean, it's in like second, third printing, and now I'm to the point where the story's out there to where I don't even know we had like Canadian freedom fighter dude, you know, Captain Maple Syrup, whatever his name was. The
what the fuck?
The logging dude.
Captain Maple Syrup? I'm going to kill you with sweetness.
Except he had axes, so maybe it should have been Captain Axe. I don't know. Now the art just makes me mad. I'm just mad at the art. It's not just bad art. I'm physically angry with the art in this book.
Physically. Not emotionally angry.
I need to punch a wall. The art is so bad. I mean, sometimes you can do the stylized art and get away with it. I am so done with the art. And I mean, I only know there's five issues to this. So, yes, I'm going to pick five up. Whether I read it or not, I don't know. I'm a collector. I have to have the whole series. But it's like an episode of South Park, which is also not drawn well. Little Bird dies in every... I just, at the end of this, I want to be like, oh my God, you killed Kitty! Oh my God, you killed Little Bird!
Just watching Eric trying to figure out when the best time to actually take a sip of beer.
Yeah.
Because he's dangerous. Like,
No, not yet. He's not done.
He said South Park. I'm going to hold on for a second here.
Oh, God. So I feel like you might feel the same way.
Bro. I just wrote, ellipsis. Yeah. I just, it's a mind fuck and not in the good way.
No. She dies at the end of every, and
like,
then.
See, the thing is like, that's not even the part that bothers me. Like, the main part that bothered me in this one was like, when the fucking little kid takes his mask off and he's actually fine.
Yeah.
And then two panels later, he gets, like, incinerated, like, burned to the stake because he's, like, a fucking witch.
Oh,
no,
it wasn't him. It was her.
See, I can't even follow the fucking story because they all look the same.
See, mom got so with the fucking noses. Creepy eyes. It's the creepy eyes. Yep.
Not about the noses this time. Nope.
Well, they're not Japanese.
Six. In a row. Anyway.
You brought it up, sir.
Regardless.
I did not bring it up.
I just wanted to quash all... Anyway. Daredevil number 7.
Boom.
So...
No Devils, Only God, part 2.
I'm going to start... Well, I was right about Daredevil returning. However, I was wrong about who was donning the devil horns.
Okay, fair enough.
Because if you remember... I was pretty angry when we issue number 6.
I believe we had a robust
discussion. Yes, because I was pissed because I was like, why did you just write yourself beautifully into getting rid of Daredevil? To then in the 6th issue, make it seem like there's going to be a situation that requires Daredevil. Like you literally just wrote yourself into a hole that you now have to build a ladder to get out of. Oh, unless you take a left down fuck street and the dude who Daredevil is bad, we must clap irons on Daredevil. I'm going to bite him in the fucking street.
Did I miss that? Was that the detective?
It's the cop, right?
No.
Okay.
That's doing what?
That's in the Daredevil.
No, I just thought it was a random passerby.
Oh, no, it's just some lady.
No, it's definitely a black dude.
All right, I'm to the page.
Yeah, no beard.
I mean...
It's no not beard. The cop.
Are you sure?
Beard? Cop? Beard? No beard.
I think it's the lady from the shop at the end of number 6.
Oh, that would be even cooler.
At the end of number 6, as they're shaking the shop down... For money,
although
she looks up at
bro, I'm 100% sure it's the cop.
I'm 100% sure it's not the cop, and I don't see any boobicles, so
yeah, but
I don't think it's
that.
A lady.
I mean,
it's not a lady. It's definitely
pulling it
a dude.
Out of. It's not a purse. Is it a backpack? This is why we read comics together.
I don't know.
I thought it was the cop.
I don't think it's the cop.
I don't think it's the cop.
And honestly, I think these pages were just a setup for the last two pages.
Yes.
To show us that
Daredevil is still here.
He's still seeing and hearing, or not seeing, but hearing, hearing everything that's going on in the city and reporting it. That's why your crime is down, because Daredevil's hearing it as it's starting to occur, and police are able to respond.
I would tell you it would be sweet if it was the cop. That would have been cool.
See, because that's the assumption I went off of, and I was like, Chip Zdarsky, I am very sorry that I doubted you.
Yeah.
Like, you because how great would it be if the biggest person in the whole of Hell's Kitchen that is like, no, Daredevil, we can't have Daredevil, we must clap irons on Daredevil, I'm gonna fight Daredevil in the fucking street in the middle of a bunch of these cops and people. He turns out to have the necessity to don
to go the, outside the
yes
law.
Yep. Yes, because that would be the sweet justice, I think.
It may be the lady, but I'm like,
I mean, it's definitely a dude. It's definitely a dude.
It feels like it's a dude, know. And I feel like it's not.
I think it's the lady the from number six.
If it is, so. I like that as well. To me, what I loved about this issue, well, first, what I didn't like, the artistic change.
That was the last issue of the same.
But I really don't like it here because I don't like the way Kingpin is drawn.
Yeah, he's too.
He doesn't look. I mean, Kingpin should be just like a muscular block.
He should be a behemoth of a man.
And this dude just looks like kind of a fat guy with a little head poked on him. Not huge on that.
The content with Kingpin.
That's where I'm going in okay. The good. The bad was I wasn't down with the artistic change, but Kingpin going legit or at least dissolving his criminal empire to go after bigger challenges. That's awesome. And that feels like what that character should do. I like it when the characters evolve. Like, man, I've already got... I'm the Kingpin. I own all the crime.
Well, and there is no Daredevil
anymore.
I have no...
I have no nemesis, so I'm going to go to bigger and better things. I can steal more money being mayor than, you know... So you guys just divide it amongst yourselves. Don't fight to cause me trouble as mayor. I really like that. And Daredevil still helping others without putting on the horns. That feels true to his character. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm having a crisis, but I can't just let these people suffer without me. I'm causing more trouble going out throwing my baton around. I'll just stand here at the window and just call 911 over and over. Hey, mm-hmm. Here's a robbery. Hey, here's a burglary. Hey, here's an assault going on.
And it was cool to see from Zdarsky on Twitter that... And I saw it before I read the issue. He was like, the last two pages are my favorite two pages that I've ever done.
I do remember reading that. And
then getting to that and seeing what that was, that was really cool. My favorite part, I think, was this page here with him and the struggle with the nun and just, you know, and she's like, hey, you're not special. Like, this and he's like, whoa, hey, yeah,
I'm pretty special.
Yeah. She's like, no, I mean, this is
struggles everybody goes through.
Yeah, so
he's really brought a humanistic element to the character, and
I totally agree. The art isn't as good. It isn't to a point where I'm like,
no,
I don't like this, but Chichetto is back on. The third arc, which they also revealed the
11
cover.
Through 15, right?
Yeah. And they revealed the name of that and the first cover. So third arc will be called Through Hell.
Yes.
So we've
and
had
it's a great looking cover too.
No Fear. And now
No Devils,
Only God. And then we'll have Through Hell. So
this should be good. Super, super impressed with this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely it's the one that I go to first.
I save it to last because I know it's going to be good, and I got to get through some of the stuff that's questionable first.
I go right for the thing that I know I'm gonna.
He goes right for the meat.
Yeah,
it's my dessert.
Wow,
not sliding down the bat pole.
Oh, dude. So I was listening to that issue earlier, and I was like. Dude, you motherfucker, you mocked me immersively when I called this the pot cave, and you were like, whose pod pole just slide down? I was like,
I actually like it. I mean, pod cave, it's fun.
I know.
But that leads to everything else. Sure, I mean, dude.
Yeah, we got a pod penny and a pod dinosaur.
I need to have like
Didn't have to drive he didn't have to drive his pod mobile home.
Should I put a bust of, was it Mozart outside the door and you have to pull it back and hit the button to open the door?
That'd be sweet. Or a piano and you have to hit like a certain chord. Yeah.
Play Moonlight Sonata.
So what do we think about the Mind Haze
That is, IPA? It's pretty delightful.
That
isn't it?
Good IPA,
really, really good.
It's in that juicy.
Yes. Yep.
And I think it's one of the better entries.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I like the Deschutes Fresh Squeezed quite a bit because that's the first one I sampled of that. Yeah, I feel like the Space Camper is also in that class.
I just feel like either one of those two, they're very mainstream. I feel like this has got a little more character to it, if you will. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'm wrong. So.
No, it's...
It's real good.
And you want to talk about easy drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for an IPA, that really...
About a six-pack of that shit. All gone. Black Badge number...
11. Well, that was a twist.
This is where we enter the sad music to the podcast.
The sad Hulk music.
Oh, yeah, when he's walking away.
Yeah.
Like that Stewie skit from Family Guy. Okay, anyway. So, confirmed, 12 is it.
One and done.
For now.
Yep. But, you know, I'm okay with that. Because I feel like as much as I've enjoyed the story, it's probably about time to wrap it up. I mean, I feel like we've kind of run the gambit with this from something you're like, oh, really? Boy Scouts on covert missions. Oh, I got to see what this is about. To uncovering, you know, the Honor Society and, you know, all the inner machinations that go on there.
Losing a dear friend only to find out that they were just earning two more merit badges.
Yes. Yes, that was kind of sweet.
I loved it, dude.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think you can tell you've told your story in 12. I don't need to necessarily see anything past that.
Fair enough. Yeah,
as much as I've enjoyed the book, I think 12 is a good spot to stop.
Some good things have to die.
Yep. Well, and leave me wanting more. Don't leave me going, oh, okay, that's played out.
Yeah. So before we move on to the last compare, should you guys hear that Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz are teaming up for a book off for Marvel?
I did see that.
It's a Wolverine title, I believe, right?
New Mutants.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently Chris Claremont is writing a Wolverine story as well.
Well, I mean, that fits because Sienkiewicz did New Mutants a while back, and Claremont has wrote X-Men and Mutants, so...
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's just a one-off, right, I thought?
Oh, I thought it was like a short series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was like 5 or 6 issues, but I mean, it's not ongoing. It's
I'd be interested to read that.
I mean, I'm dude. I had you at Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah, you did. You did well, and Claremont as well. Because that, yeah.
But he's writing a. He's also writing a Wolverine story too. I can't remember what the hell it's called.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm kind of played out with the Wolverine stories. But,
I mean, that's fine.
But it's Claremont, so yeah. I mean, I would give it a chance.
I think that Wolverine is a one-shot, though, maybe
some of the best X-Men I've read has come from Claremont. I mean, that's back when I was reading X-Men and really excited about it.
Yeah. So our last compare is Neon Future number 4. Now, there's a story behind this. So as you'll find out later on, I was dared 1 through 3, but I had already bought 1 through 3, and I was lucky enough to pick up 4. So we're going to talk about it twice, basically. So,
yeah, it can happen.
Yeah.
So I guess I can take lead on this, and then sure. you can give
I
more
can
on
fill in yeah. later.
It's a great story, great art, and what I really like is the character development in this. I mean, I guess the bit of a backstory is you've got augmented humans, and then you have. The normals, or I forget what they call them, like the basically people who haven't been augmented. And
yeah, so it's like fresh tech, and then I can't remember
what the historical or histrionic or something.
I can't remember what the normies are called.
So Clay was basically on a reality TV show where he hunted down the augmented humans because that tech is all outlawed. Dies, Keto, well, he or
kind of gets murdered.
Yeah,
I called her Keita. It's K-I-T-A, right?
It's a dude.
Whatever, dude.
Fair enough.
Dude, in augmented reality, is anyone a gender?
Okay. Brings him back to life, hits him up with this awesome tech, and he's kind of a whiny bitch about, oh, no. And not happy he's alive, but, oh, you've ruined me, and, you know, tries to fight it. In this issue, he actually kind of pulls himself up by his bootstraps and accepts who he is and starts trying to excel and takes ownership over his new life. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite books.
So I'll give more of it later, but like, and this is going to sound like a diss, but from a literal, and I do mean this in the literal sense, from a no-name publisher.
Yeah.
Like, the publisher is It Comics. You ever heard of It Comics? Never. Never. This is, holy fuck. Like,
it's legit good.
It's really good. Like, it's like, oh, that's so bad. It might be like Blade Runner good.
Since that's where you're going.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah. It's really fucking good. So the Wolverine story is a one-shot with various Wolverine stories, I think, by the best of it, is it's called Wolverine Exit Wounds, and it comes out next week. But
the one I'm more interested in is the...
Yeah, it's the New Mutants.
No, there's an... It's Weapon X Plus. It's a Wolverine and Captain America story. Hmm. Where they're both in the Weapon X program. That one sounds really cool to me.
So, by the way, Eric was right. Yeah, the New Mutants is a one-shot. It's called War Children. Reunite of Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz with Magic, Wolfsbane, Cannonball, Cypher, Mirage, Karma, and Sunspot. And apparently that's coming in September.
Cool.
So that's going to complete the compare and on to the shares. I don't have any.
Do you have
shocking?
Shocking.
Fair enough.
You can go. Yeah. I can go. Yeah. So I'm just going to wrap both of mine into one. I've got Amazing Nightcrawler number 5 and Next Gen number 5. Age of X-Men is kind of winding down at this point, and these are the final issues of both of these. Neither one of them end on a very good note. I mean, we kind of know the Age of X-Men is all about Nate or X-Men just creating this world and messing with everybody's minds. And basically we find out that in Nightcrawlers, he's fallen in love with the girl that he's always wanted to, Megan, who's a part of Excalibur, even in the regular universe. Fallen in love with her multiple times, has a kid with her. And of course, love and relationships are outlawed in this world. So he's just been mind wiped over and over and over because he just keeps coming back to her and, you know, and then he'll realize he has a kid and realize he wants to be with her again. And then boom, he gets mind wiped again. And kind of the same thing happens in Next Gen. Like they also have kind of figured out that, hey, this world isn't what it seems. And basically they all just get put in prison at the end of number 5. And so there's one more that's coming. It's the Omega, the Age of X-Men Omega that just kind of wraps up everything. So, but yeah, I dropped off of a couple of them. There's been 5 X-Men titles that have been dropping, during this Age of X-Men. It's Marvelous X-Men, that's Nightcrawler, Next Gen, Prisoner X, or actually maybe it's 6. And I've dropped off like 3 of them, but I'm glad I stuck with these two. These both had decent endings to it. So Yeah.
All right. I will start with Faithless number 3.
This is the one I couldn't pick up.
I'm going to show Eric because I know Brian probably doesn't want to see it.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Sex, magic, murder.
Dude, what else can you ask for?
It's a pretty okay premise for a comic book. The story is still being fleshed out, so to speak.
Wow. Wow.
And turned it right to the money shot.
Like a literal money shot or a figurative money shot?
But there's certainly more going on here than casual sex. The first two issues kind of explored those regions. But now it's...
Dude, that might have to be the title. There's more going on here than just casual sex. Sorry.
There's a bit of a mystery going on, and yeah, I'm way hooked with this book. And for my second share, as I read back this, I have the Frank Miller Superman Year One.
The DC Black Label extended magazine format that is annoying to preserve Superman Year One. Oh, I know, but
got a bag and board for that
for sure. But can't put it in a long box.
So it's a nice Superman story, but I don't know that it's groundbreaking like Batman Year One was. I don't love the John Romita Jr. art, and I get there's different strokes for different folks, but I don't get his style.
Is Batman in it?
No. It's a decent story, but it started too early. I would have rather seen Superman like, all right, I'm an adult. I got the cape and the tights. I'm ready to go out and fight crime. Here's my first foray into that. Instead, we start with the destruction of Krypton. And then we go through, hey, it's adolescent Superman, lifting up a tractor and, throwing a ball and fighting bullies in school. And it ends up with him joining the Navy. Because I don't know that's a Superman story that I've seen.
Okay.
So, I'm probably going to pick up book 2 just to see where it goes.
What time period does this take place? I mean, you can't gleam any.
Nope. I mean, it's certainly I would say it's close to modern day 80s or 90s.
But it's not like the 60s or 50s.
No.
There's
no
back off of.
Nope.
See, because that was one of the things that worked really well about Dark Knight Returns was like he played off the Cold War aspects. Sorry, I didn't mean
to. The point of it being on Black Label.
Couldn't tell you. Because there's.
I thought that was reserved for more.
Mature. Uh-huh. Yeah. There was no Super Dick.
Tame.
No Super Dick.
Oh, well.
Damn. Fuck, can't pick it up now. Sucks.
Batman probably would have been jealous. That's why they left it out.
So, whereas I don't. It kind of falls, Brian, under your heading of. Why do I need this?
Yeah.
And so
I'm surprised you didn't pick it up.
I was there and I looked at it and I was like, something made me not want to pick it up because it just like I don't love Superman to begin with. And I'd already read an article that said like he becomes a they're headed towards a Navy SEAL. And I'm like, bro, I do not need Superman killing Osama bin Laden. I'm not picking this up. And would you say that I was wise in my decision?
Not. I mean, it will take issue 2 for me to make that leap.
Decision one way or the other.
Because, I mean, this was too much about we started with the fall of Krypton, and I'm like, all right, we already know that story, Frank. I mean, tell me something fresh. Tell me something new. But I'll give it 2 and see where we go.
I mean, I think it's only 3
okay.
total.
So, I don't know. I guess I went into it with expectations because I've read Batman Year One. And that to me was pretty groundbreaking stuff. Kind of helped reinvent the character. There wasn't even a sniff of that to me. I mean, unless he goes and becomes a Navy SEAL and smokes Osama.
Yeah. I'm just saying, man. Like in my horror realm, Superman kills Osama bin Laden. Like, I mean, just.
All right, so I got one more
about that
quickly. I've read book one and book two of Why the Last Man. And when I read book one, I couldn't understand my buddy Jeff's problem with this. He's like, I didn't get his take on it. And book one, I felt like I don't get that. I got into book two and it became way political. And
well, I've read book one. Well, I own book one.
I have two.
Okay. Well, then maybe I should dare you guys book two because I think it will change your mind on Why the Last Man. Because I don't feel like a world where all the dudes die.
Well, it's
reacts like that. I don't feel like an Amazon uprising.
Yeah.
I
mean, it is a comic book, Brian.
No, I get it, but it's your take on the world, and you can do whatever you want. I just don't feel like
for sure
that's how it would have went.
Fair enough.
So, one, I was real high on. I was like, yeah, this is a good book. I'm digging it. Mm-hmm. Two, not as much.
I think they're still making it into a TV show.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, that is going to take us out of the shares and into the dares.
And we'll also try our next beer. It is Shiner, their Wicked Juicy IPA.
Wicked.
So I had Neon Future 1 through 3 plus 4. So it's a sci-fi story with really good art and a really good story, and I can't really find anything wrong with it. So, you know, I cannot find anything wrong with it, which is good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the person that had the idea was like, his name is like Steve Aoki. It's like Steve Aoki presents Neon Aoki. Future.
Yep.
And I guess he's like a
music dude,
DJ or something like that.
He's done it.
Really?
Yeah, he was literally in town, like at the Sprint Center, like a month ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And like Eric just said, he's done a Coheed song. So
that's kind of wild.
I don't know which one.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he's like a big music producer, or DJ, or both, or something. I don't know.
Like the Shiner's not near as good as the other.
But regardless, I don't care whose idea it was. Like, it's a really good story. You know, it's just it's the story of when technology is not the beloved.
Well, and I feel like that's probably in the not so distant future, where we may be headed, to where, you know, you've got people.
I think technology gets way more intrusive in our lives before it gets unintrusive.
Well, I think you've got people, you know, protesting good omens. You're going to have people, those same type of people, protesting how much, hey, Alexa, turn that light on for me. Mm-hmm. I'm secretly recording you.
Yeah, well, the problem is they don't lie about that. You just don't read it.
Right. No, 100%.
Like, no one reads terms of service,
but
it's in there.
But at some point, I think people rebel against technology. And I don't think that's
for sure
so far away.
In the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
Probably not. Will it happen in our lifetime?
I'm not saying it's probably coming tomorrow, not. But I just think that this is not, we call it science fiction.
Science fiction is just not science.
Almost call it science fact.
Realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, people once thought gravity was science fiction. There's no force pushing shit down on the Earth. Oh, hey, by the way, gravity's real, and here's the mathematical equation for it.
Yeah.
What? There's no electrical field around the Earth. By the way, here's evidence of the electromagnetic field.
And, of course, we still have people
the Earth is flat.
Saying that the Earth
oh
is flat.
Oh, my God, dude. Hold on. There was a fucking tweet that was hilarious. Yes. It said,
people around the globe.
Around the globe. Yeah. And I'm like, and then somebody was like, read that again to yourself slowly. Yeah. Flat earthers around the globe. Yeah. First off, around is an adjective that determines the shape of an object. And what shape is a fucking globe?
Oh, yeah, we got it. We got it.
Oh, I know.
I mean, thanks I'm for just, breaking it down.
I'm over-explaining. Because there are people who believe the Earth is flat.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
It just makes good common sense. I mean, you know, we didn't send people in space. I forgot. I was going to say. We've sent people in space that have photographed the round Earth.
Because there's not time-lapse videos from the International Space Station.
Oh, they're not actually there. It's a soundstage. Don't you know we didn't actually land on the moon?
That actually might be... No, see, because...
Oh, my God, dude. I've got an alien autopsy video you need to see.
I mean, here's the thing. From what I've understood about the moon landing is it would have been harder to fake it. It would have cost more to fake it than to go.
There's a movie I've actually seen about that. It was pretty good. It had Weasley in it from...
Rupert Grint?
Okay, that's why I said Weasley, because I didn't know his fucking name.
You're talking about Ron?
Yes.
Or Bill?
Ron. Weasley.
The fact that I know there's more than...
Yes.
There's also Fred George, too, if you want to get fucking...
Don't forget Charlie.
Yeah, they're actually... Yeah, he's the dragon tamer in Romania. I've said too much!
Taking the headphones off.
All I will say is my wife would be proud that I know that shit. Anyway, where the fuck were we?
Moving on.
I don't even know.
We were handing out dares.
Yeah. No. I think. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Because
yeah.
I was done with Neon Future.
What are you thinking about the?
Oh, I haven't. Even, do I really
try it?
It's not as good as the previous by far.
No, it's not.
It's not bad.
Comparatively, well,
it's bad.
Okay. Okay, comparatively.
Like, if you're talking about, like, in general, no, but comparatively, it's certainly several rungs.
It's light years worse than...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still not Bud Light.
God, dude, the aftertaste is what gets me.
Yeah.
It's like a bitterness. It's my anyway, part. As per normal, I'm lazy, and I couldn't find my dares, so I didn't do them, because I'm a horrible... Anyway, you guys got dares?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Got a couple.
Yeah, all right. Let's hit it.
All right. So, Brian Mitchell, I have
Faust Act.
Wicked in the Vine, Volume 1. And if you read through that and you need Volumes 2 and 3, I also have those.
You remember?
I feel as though
maybe I should just give those to you.
Probably.
Yeah, because I think you're going to like
remember
it.
Remember Saga?
Yes.
How many books?
Well, I don't know. I read them all in like
seven. It was eight. It was like, eight TTVs.
Just in one day. Just tore through.
Yeah, it's not going to be quite that fast. Because from what I remember, it's kind of wordy. Maybe not.
Not a ton. I've
read a
really
lot of comics.
Like it. And then I'm excited.
Actually, I think I reviewed that. I think I reviewed it like a long ass time ago.
It could be
because I know I read it because I have the first.
I just kept seeing things on Twitter about it and stuff, and then
it was the same time around Sex Criminals. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember you dared that one to me.
Yeah. I think it was about that same time, because I think I bought them both from Amazon at the same... Anyway, sorry, you were saying?
I just had been seeing quite a bit on it and decided to give it a shot, and it didn't take long to hook.
To understand why,
art is great, and
it's really good coloring, right? If I remember correctly,
yes.
It's got like very vibrant colors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's from what I understand, it's like, you know who it reminds
me? Image?
Yeah.
Guessing.
Yeah, it's Image.
Yeah.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Flipped it open, looked at the art, said Image.
It reminds me of Sacred Creatures.
Okay.
But not. Okay.
Speaking of which, is that ever coming back?
No idea.
Because I really like that one. Yep.
And then For Brian Mann, I'm excited for you to read this. This is the Free Comic Book Day Avengers comic. Okay. I hadn't read it until like a day ago, and I just decided I'd flip it open. Like, this has the start of Savage Avengers.
Oh, really?
Like, this makes Savage Avengers make so much more sense.
Okay.
And it's still, it's the second story in here, so you can skip the first one if you want to. But it's Deodato art.
Yeah, look at that.
And it's good. Like,
nice.
Like, you know, we're two issues in and we haven't seen Elektra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get Elektra in the Free Comic Book Day one. So it'll only take you about 5 minutes for your dare because it's a short story. But
I appreciate that.
It's
behind you on the table.
It's good stuff.
All right. So, Eric, this will come as a complete shock. You get Neon Future 1-4.
1-4. Okay.
It's a gift. He's given you a gift.
I think you'll dig it.
If you don't,
this is funny,
we're gonna kill
that
you.
That kind of looks like the Steve Aoki.
Yeah,
guy.
I think is it Akita?
Akita. Yeah.
Is he a dude with long black hair?
Yeah.
That's probably Steve Aoki.
I don't know. I just it's really good, and especially from a comic.
Literally publisher
idea.
I've never heard of.
And thank goodness they had it at Clint's, because
otherwise we never heard about it.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
I haven't read it yet, so.
Southern Bastards.
No, well, yeah, but it was good. So I picked this up and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's Warren Ellis Injection.
Interesting.
I was disappointed because I picked up the Jupiter,
Jupiter Circle.
I picked up the second, and then I was reading it going, why is this so confusing? And if anybody wants to read Book 2 of Why the Last Man, and no takers.
Oh, no, not
keep
right
it
now.
Around for a for a
well,
dare.
It's a
okay. But I mean, I can keep
it on Hoopla.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's going to take us out of the dares and into the impaired section, to which we have many of things to talk about. The first one. Apparently, J.J. Abrams and his son are writing a comic book for Marvel.
You stole one of mine.
God damn it. I didn't know. Fuck. We didn't talk about this before.
No,
sorry.
It's okay.
All right. Well, Eric's going to go ahead and explain it to you.
Okay.
No, you can. Okay. All right. I will. Just announced J.J. Abrams is writing a Spider-Man comic starting in September.
Spider-Man.
With his son, Henry. Kind of cool. I mean, I definitely will give it a shot and see what it was like. I was actually really surprised at the blowback that it was getting on Twitter.
Like negative press?
Yeah. Like,
what the hell? Abrams has done is good stuff.
See, that's what I thought too. And people were like, well, hell, I wish I wish my kid could just get me I could get a job with my kid. And I mean, just all these.
Well, all right, then start writing a damn comic or write a good movie.
He's going to ruin, he'll ruin another franchise. And I'm like, really? Because I like him quite a lot.
Okay, what franchise has he ruined?
I was really surprised.
I'm
just
super confused.
To the point where I was almost ready to start writing back, you do realize you don't have to read this, right? Like,
feel free to not pick the book up. That's like, why you have choices.
Who knows if it'll be any good or not, but I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, I like the artist that was chosen for it, too. It's the artist that was the original artist with the Miles Morales Spider-Man when Bendis started it up. So it's going to be good art, and I like J.J. Abrams. So
wasn't that Rags Morales?
No, Sarah Pacelli.
Oh, okay.
So
in terms of franchises that J.J. Abrams has ruined?
Ruined? Question mark?
If you're saying Star Wars, recently...
I'd start off first with Star Trek.
Well, hold on. No, hold on. Because this is...
Okay, you're working backwards. Okay.
Yeah, I'm working. Gotcha. If you're going to say Star Wars, number one, 9 hasn't come out yet, so you're not fair to judge that.
And I was super excited after
the
number
trailer.
7. No, I mean...
The movie.
How can you,
Force Awakens, right?
For what is out for that J.J. Abrams has done.
Yeah, right.
I liked it.
So, again, I've been the Star Wars critic at the table.
Right.
Force Awakens, I didn't have a problem with.
Right.
I mean, other than, I mean, I don't feel like we moved forward a whole bunch. I didn't have a problem with that
one. Sure.
Yeah.
Right. And there apparently is a new thing out that outlined what George Lucas's dream for 7 through 9 was, and I can tell you,
I don't care.
But it wasn't going to be good. Yeah. Go ahead and get that out of your mind, because George Lucas would have ruined it more than it's already been ruined now. And Star Trek, I guess, but.
End of story.
It's the first Star Trek.
The third one wasn't super great, but some of those fucking original Star Trek movies were horrible.
Awful.
I was never a Star Trek fan.
In my opinion, the only good Star Wars movie was Wrath of Khan before Star Nemesis.
Trek. Star Trek?
What? Sorry.
I feel like you need
alcohol.
Wrath of Khan was really good, but
you know,
I think they did enough, because I thought 2 was very much a retelling of Wrath of Khan, but there was enough of a twist there, and it was just Cumberbatch.
But the way he shoots
and
things.
Pine and it was really good. One was really good.
One was
problem.
Great. And I said, 3 was not as good, but it was. But sure, it was still fucking watchable.
Yes.
I didn't know the bad guy was Idris Elba until 120 minutes into the movie, but okay.
I caught it, but yes. To me, though, I was a next generation Star Trek fan.
Sure, Picard,
More so than OG Star Trek. And I've went back and watched some of the old ones. J.J. Abrams has done wonders with that franchise.
And that's what I'm saying.
Venom coming from?
Like, is it Lost? That's not him. Is it Heroes? That's also not him.
Heroes season 1 was amazing.
Yeah. Heroes season 3 was complete garbage. Lost probably dragged on a season too long. I get it. But the thing is just because he's the showrunner doesn't mean he makes all the fucking decisions.
Right.
There's a studio he has to answer to that determines when he gets to make shit or when he doesn't. Like, Overlord, that's a movie. It's not a franchise. Like, the only franchises that I know of are Star Trek and Star Wars that are movie franchises.
And I get where people are pissed with Star Wars, but...
But that wasn't J.J. Abrams.
He didn't make Last Jedi.
Yeah, that was Rian Johnson.
Yeah. And I'm with you, folks on Twitter. Didn't dig that either.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
But again... I've heard about George Lucas's vision,
it wasn't going to be
Better than that.
I didn't dig the prequels either.
Yeah, which
so
dude, I've recently had a epiphany about, because I don't mind the prequels.
I don't mind them.
But
I'm not going to call them
cinematically. Cinematically, from what I've understood, apparently Jar Jar Binks is the first fully cinematic CGI character.
Misa don't care.
I understand that. But the first of anything is never great. If you go and buy the first gen of something, it's never great.
But I'm going to tell you, I'll fight you on that one too, because I'm still rocking the day one Xbox One. So
that's not the first Xbox ever.
That was the first of that generation. Okay, we're not going down this rabbit hole. I'm just saying, the first gen CGI character, I had zero problems with how Jar Jar was drawn. He was just a completely ridiculous character that I did not need.
And whose fault is that? Who gave him that voice? George Lucas. Okay,
but
that's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. I'm dissecting your argument.
My problems with the prequels are not necessarily that they exist. It's that there were some directorial or artistic choices
story.
Yes.
That's the end-all be-all. It was a shit story.
Yeah.
No one cares about the Trade Federation and going to the Senate. And we want to see people with lightsabers and,
no one cares to see House of Cards in space.
Correct. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That is a good argument, sir.
Yes. Moving on. Katie Sackhoff has a new science fiction show on Netflix coming out called Another Life.
could be called Katie Sackhoff Gets Naked?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I saw it on Twitter and I was like,
because the movie was, I what was the movie?
Riddick.
No. Oh, I remember that one. Yes, sir. 100%.
Her Space Unknown 2033?
I really tried to watch that.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes. It was the not
where
good.
It's literally just her and a dude talking the entire time, and there's like literally only two shots in the whole movie?
But you know what? I mean, there was why can't I think of Bane's name?
Tom Hardy.
Thank you. Where he's literally on his cell phone in a car the entire movie.
I mean, there's a movie where it was, Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise are in a taxi the entire time.
But I mean, this is like a one-man show. He's talking on his cell phone in a car the entire movie.
I've seen that movie before. It's called Phone Book. Phone Booth with Colin Farrell.
Okay. I'm talking about the one with Tom Hardy.
I don't know what his name is. Okay, but I've seen movies like that before. Go ahead. Sorry.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I would tell you the writing and the acting might have something to do with
it. Do you remember
it.
What it was called by chance?
No. I can look up the IMDb.
Okay. Cool.
But I'll pop open our last beer of the pod. This is from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company. It's their Pompeii India Pale Ale. This just recently started into the Kansas City area. It's out of Iowa, Decorah, Iowa.
Volcano.
Which is, I did not realize. I think I thought it was out of Chicago because one of their other beers is like Sue, the T-Rex that's in the Chicago Museum. I don't know what.
Of
Decorah, Iowa. That's cool.
History.
Okay.
Or something.
So,
whatever that museum is there right off Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Which is a great place, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Anyway.
I remember picking up a taxi there to go to Legoland. Way, way back.
Marvel has canceled Doctor Strange.
What?
The comic.
The comic?
Okay. All right.
I can see that.
It's going to end at 20. This is the new Doctor Strange. This is not the other Doctor Strange that we liked and got a bunch of. This is the Mark Waid and somebody else.
Yeah, it's not been good. I've been reading it. I haven't been bringing it for a share because it's just
not good.
There's not been anything to talk about. It's been very weird. That
explains why it's canceled at 20.
The last few issues, he's become a herald for Galactus.
All right, I'm out.
Dude,
how many fucking heralds of Galactus do there need to be?
And then they trap Galactus.
Because that's possible.
Then Dormammu merges with Galactus.
I'm really out now.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I didn't really think that was worth coming to the podcast with. It's been.
Fair enough.
Very weird. So I can see why they.
So this just happened about 7 hours ago, but Sony and Marvel Studios confirm Tom Hardy, Venom 2.
Yay! Well, it made them some money, so I can see why. If they can improve upon.
They're going to have to improve it a lot. Here's how you improve it. CG. Include Tom Holland. It's instantly improved.
Yeah.
By including Spider-Man. Because Venom's a Spider-Man villain.
Really?
I did not realize he was in Band of Brothers. Sorry.
Yeah. Who did he play in Band of Brothers?
I don't know. I can't get that far.
Fair enough.
I'm looking for...
Yeah, I can get it.
For the movie.
My other news thing that I had kind of goes right into what you were just saying, that Tom Holland, as they've been doing pressers for Far From Home, which comes out in a little over a week.
It's July 4th weekend, right?
It's before. It's July 2nd. So it's like a Tuesday. So there'll be Monday evening screenings, and then it comes out on a Tuesday. But during those pressers and stuff, he said that he would love, and of course he's not Kevin Feige, he doesn't get to decide these things, but
of course
he would love a live action Spider-Verse movie that involves Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. and have multiple Spider-Mans in the same movie. And
I appreciate the artistic direction of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I cannot get behind that idea. First off, you're never going to get Tobey Maguire to come back because he's like 50 now.
But old man Spider-Man. It works. I want to see it. I want to see Tobey again.
Well, there was a rumor that there was actually a... who was the guy that did the first three Spider-Mans?
Sam Raimi.
That there was actually a Spider-Man 4 script that was like completely completed. Tobey Maguire and everything, and Marvel said no, that they were going to release it as a comic book.
And see, that's what everybody thought, because Marvel this week, before they announced the J.J. Abrams thing, they showed a 4, and then it was just a countdown. It was 4, 3, 2, 1, and then they announced it. But when they first posted that 4, people thought, oh,
people
my
were
God,
excited.
We're going to get the comic script were like, of Sam Raimi's.
People were like, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
Tom Holland.
And
then they realized that Tobey Maguire is 50. And he looks like fat old Elijah Wood.
Well, you know what? He can absolutely do Life of Spider-Man.
Life story.
Spider-Man life story.
All right, so the movie is called Lock. Here's where it comes.
L-O-C-K-E.
L-O-C-K-E. 2013. All right, here's where it gets interesting, at least for you and me. It was written and directed by...
Stephen Knight.
Yes, sir.
Ah.
The film stars Tom Hardy in the title role, the only character seen on screen, as he carries on a number of speakerphone conversations with characters voiced by... a bunch of people. Oh, Tom Holland, by the way, is in that.
Sweet. Yeah.
I might have to watch that.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, man. I don't know that I could go back and watch it again because, I mean, it is him just on a speakerphone the entire movie. But yeah, it takes something to keep your attention through that whole thing.
Tobey Maguire is 43, by the way, just in case anyone was actually wondering.
So I have a bit of news. Marvel has been courting...
Oh, God damn it. You stole my last one.
Kanunu Revis.
Yeah.
Is that from something? Is that just something you made up? What are you talking
about? I think it's something... I don't know that I can take credit for.
What, Kanunu Revis?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I have no idea.
It may have been my...
That's like his Remy McGee thing.
It may have been Jeff who coined that because we were just super in awe of his acting prowess. So
who? Kanunu Revis?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I get Bill and Ted wasn't great.
No.
Probably because he was high the entire time.
I love okay. Bill and Ted's.
All right. We probably don't need to go down this rabbit hole, but I don't think he's going to be playing Hamlet anytime soon. He is not Master Thespian. He's good for action. Dude, not like Jason Statham.
I cannot wait to see him as Moon Knight. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Is that where they were going with it?
Supposedly they have been trying to get him for at least 5 years to do a role, and he has denied every single one, quoting, "It's not the right part."
Well,
not that I won't do it.
Right, it's just not the right part. So that was my part two of what's the right part for Kanunu.
Batman.
But I would take it over Robert Pattinson, but we're not going down that rabbit hole either. So MCU, who can he play?
I mean, Batman. Which is Moon Knight.
I feel like that's not.
Let's see.
I mean, it's basically.
Does it have to? Do we have to go hero or can we go villain?
He could do
Doctor Doom,
Hellraiser.
Ooh, Doctor Doom.
Ooh,
I don't know though, dude.
Because the last decent-ish Doctor Doom was what was the Nip Tuck dude?
Yeah, Christian something.
I can't remember.
And I'm saying. Decent, not great.
I'm pretty sure it's like the only Doctor Doom, because I don't know the Doctor Doom was in the Michael B. Jordan Fantastic Four.
I don't know. I've seen Moon Knight, a lot of people wanting that, which I don't know about much about that character, but that seems pretty cool.
He's like, basically Batman.
Could he pull off Daredevil?
No.
Mr. Fantastic?
No. Dude, he needs to be in some sort of action role. He can't be...
That's why I went with
CGI'd
Hellblazer. And,
yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to kick old Nick Cage off that one.
Who?
Nicolas Cage. Didn't he do a Hellblazer?
Like a Constantine? Hellblazer.
Why am I?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Let's just have him as Wolverine.
No.
No.
Hugh Jackman isn't dead yet.
I also saw an Jason
Ghost Rider. Goddamn. Why did I say Hellblazer?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I went
retarded.
Hellblazer could work. That could work. Definitely.
Ghost Rider.
Dude, no. Yeah, because
I made you somebody do it. No, because that Jason Momoa would like Wolverine.
No.
And I don't think that works either. But I also saw that
Wolverine? Hugh Jackman.
He was pitching, or maybe this was just a joke, but man, I'd go see it in a heartbeat. A Twins remake with Jason Momoa and Peter Dinklage.
Oh shit.
Oh yes.
I'm down.
Check that box.
It's going to be ridiculous, but it would be amazing.
Yep. Because
the two leading theories of who he's going to play is Moon Knight and Adam Warlock.
See, I don't know anything about Adam Warlock.
I don't know much
about Moon Knight either, other than MCU Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know that Adam Warlock is going to be a big enough character. Like, it needs to be somebody.
If you make him a big enough character, I guess. I mean, you made the Guardians of the Galaxy popular. You can.
We got Tom King doing New Gods, that's a pretty deep pull.
Then make him one of the fucking Eternals, then. But I feel like.
All right, let's go deeper.
That could work, but.
Let's tell you.
He's not a great voice actor, so he's got to be, because you can't make him like the voice of Galactus, or because he doesn't have a great voice.
Another ridiculous one.
All right,
Iron Fist, martial arts,
better, but
it could work.
You'd have to introduce the rest of the Defenders, because you can't do an Iron Fist solo movie, because number one, the Iron Fist television show was not well received. No one's asking for this.
Yeah, but you have the Kanunu star power behind it, where you're going to get people to see it just because, dude, I just watched John Wick 3.
Yeah.
What if he comes in as Spider-Man 3 as Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah, I could do that, because you kind of got the longish hair. I could see that. I think you're on the right track. Villain would be, to me, if I were an actor, I think the villain played well.
Gary Oldman.
Yes. I mean, that's... And Gary Oldman doesn't hit it all the time. See Fifth Element.
The blind movie with Denzel Washington.
I thought he was okay in that one.
He was good, but he wasn't like Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
I liked that. Yeah, I liked
He that. Wasn't...
Eli, Book of Eli.
Oh my God, that was a great movie.
God damn, dude. That revelation at the end when you realize that book he's been carrying around the whole time is fucking
Braille.
Garbage.
Then you've got to go back and watch it again and go, yeah, okay. If you look, he taps his foot on each step. I mean, you can see.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Denzel, dude, like... It's kind of, his performance of that blind dude is very much the same as Ben Affleck's autistic in The Accountant.
Yes.
It's so fucking uncanny that if you didn't know that person wasn't really blind, you'd be like, that's a fucking blind dude.
And when you get the realization at the end, you just want to start the movie over and go, I'm going to find a spot where he screws up, and he does not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fact that many people don't even know that movie exists is... horrendous to me.
I don't know. It's a magnificent movie.
Yeah. Like, Denzel Washington equals fuck it, I'll watch it. Like, Equalizer 2, not a great movie. Guess what? It's like old man John Wick. But you want to know what? Watching Denzel Washington kill a bunch of people, pretty good movie.
I can't think of a, and we have completely digressed, but I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of a bad Denzel movie.
Glory. I'm just kidding.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I knew that would fucking cheer your ass.
That's got Morgan Freeman as well.
Yeah, I March nothing comes.
Some bad Morgan Freeman. But back to Kanunu. I don't know villain-wise who you would pick.
I think Kraven's solid. That's solid.
Kraven's solid, but there's no setup there. Like, you'd have to, I mean, you're waiting at least 3 to 5 years before you ever see him in a movie.
Well, we've been, Marvel's been courting him for 5 years anyway, so.
Yeah.
They said, you think it'll be that long before the next Spider-Man? I don't know.
At least be 2 years.
I think two, maybe.
Right, I mean, but I mean, you.
Because otherwise, you're.
But that's just standard.
Pony boy becomes an adult, not a teenager.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the problem with child actors. Just ask J.K. Rowling. Because at the end of Harry Potter 2, Daniel Radcliffe looks like he's about 30, and he's supposed to be 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Kraven, so far, best villain. Gosh, dang.
Oh, my fucking God. I just got it. You find a dope-ass Daredevil. He's Bullseye.
Bullseye?
Yeah, dude. You got to have him in an action role because that's really where he excels.
I'm on board with that.
You know that's not happening. I mean, there's not going to be a Daredevil movie anytime soon.
I guess. There's going to be a... I don't know, dude. Kraven just... Kraven seems great, but it's just so obscure from anybody in the mainstream. Like, no one fucking knows who Kraven is unless
read
comics.
That's one of the most well-known Spider-Man stories.
Really?
Kraven the Hunter. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what did McFarlane lead off with?
Lizard.
Lizard, and then right after there's Kraven the Hunt. Right. Wasn't Doc Ock. It wasn't...
Honestly, man, if you, did you like Kraven? Like the Kraven story? You'd like that Hunted. That Amazing Spider-Man Hunted. It's really good. It's got a really nice twist to it. But, I'm
not a huge Spidey dude.
I get it.
Period.
And I don't, honestly, I just don't know who the villain. I don't know. I almost think it has to be a hero. Because I don't know that he'd sign on for a villain because it wouldn't be a big enough role.
Who do we not have as a hero that's big enough? A big enough role for him.
The only villain I could see that's big enough would be Doom, Dr. Doom. But you'd have to do a solo movie.
I got it.
You got it?
I got it.
All right, who is it?
And it's going to be controversial.
Okay.
Because Bernthal has done...
Punisher?
An amazing job with it.
So you think they're going to do a Punisher movie?
I don't think they would, but I'm just
a
like...
A Daredevil movie.
That it would be.
But if you think about, what's he good with? You know,
he's good at fucking people up
and shooting.
Yeah, and riding motorcycles.
Okay, that checks all those boxes. And we've had the Thomas Jane Punisher. Didn't we have the?
I feel like there's a
Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
There was there's another one too. Wasn't there like a? Is it Guy Pearce or?
Oh, I would have remembered that, I think. I think there was somebody like super no name has done like something on Netflix.
It was like Max Punisher.
Here's my pitch.
Here's your pitch.
Okay, Punisher with him, Garth Ennis's, what was it, the War Stories?
Yeah.
The limited series where you go back and you see him in Vietnam and it's kind of the origin story of Punisher.
So who plays old man Punisher? Because obviously he's going to play the young man Punisher in the going back.
In the going back. I know. Can't he do both?
Stephen Lang. Yeah. Thomas Jane, Dolph Lundgren are the only, and Ray Stevenson. That's who I was thinking of. Ray Stevenson are the only cinematic Punishers. Okay. Yeah, I don't know though. I don't know who. The only people they haven't done are like who's somebody huge they haven't done.
Like old man Punisher.
Isn't that what you said? Old man Punisher?
No. I said Punisher.
I don't know because, you're looking at the Fantastic Four. He doesn't really fit with any...
Unless he's Doctor Doom.
Unless he's Doctor Doom.
Because I can't imagine.
It doesn't even really
Reed
fit.
Richards.
Like, so
honestly,
let's say
John Krasinski should be Reed Richards.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And
Emily wife. Yeah.
Emily Blunt, should be Sue Storm.
Absolutely.
Just check right there.
Yeah. I'd go see that. Yeah.
And I actually thought Michael Chiklis would have been a good thing, but it didn't. That
the CGI
great, and the CGI wasn't there. Yeah.
So let's say I've been trying to run through my head the X-Men, because obviously we know they're going to bring the X-Men in at some point.
Gambit?
No.
Dude, can you see him long hair trench coat? I can see that.
I'd like that.
I could see Gambit. Immediately when you said that, I was like, if you're going to reboot this, you need some A-list actor.
Could you see Scott Summers?
I was going to say Magneto.
No, I don't
young
think he's
Magneto.
He didn't have the chops for that. I'm sorry.
You think he's worse than Michael Fassbender?
Yes.
I don't know
dude,
about
Fassbender's
all that,
good.
Not particularly as Magneto, in my opinion. From what I know you've seen it, but from what I've heard of Dark Phoenix, it is literally
okay. I have not seen that. So
one step away from being as bad as Last Stand.
Didn't hate Last Stand.
I liked Dark Phoenix because I know it got horrible reviews and stuff, but I actually didn't mind it at all. I don't know. I mean, I like Gambit. I like the thought of
Gambit's a good one because like
I don't
they've
know
been trying to make that
do
Gambit movie.
Cyclops. No. I feel like he's too old to
pull off Summers.
And
he could do Longshot, but I don't know how I feel about him with blonde hair. I feel like that's going to be jarring and pull you out of it.
And see, I thought that too. One of my thoughts was like Sentry. He could play Sentry, but that's putting him in blonde hair. So I don't know that he can. We've never seen him.
And I mean,
really
I'm sure
pull that off.
He probably could. It's that suspension of disbelief, watching Solo and going, "That's not Harrison Ford." Oh my God, you are so not Harrison Ford, and I got over it. So it could happen, but
yeah.
I just feel like you're already kind of behind the eight ball.
I can't think of any other X-Men that really fit either. He doesn't fit as Iceman or Beast.
Dude,
or
I got it. Glob?
Oh. All right, so here
he just be in a pink exosuit.
so here we got the list here. Here we go.
Of what they were thinking or what they pitched to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it.
Which actually would be good. Yeah. It's one of those where you get to scroll through. Hey, look at this. Cheeseburger, please.
Reports say that Keanu Reeves has been at least considered for 7 Marvel roles. And they are Druig.
I'm sorry, who?
Druig.
I'm sorry, who?
Druig.
Okay, fair enough. I can understand
he
the pattern on that one.
He is a villain from the Eternals.
Okay.
The actual Mandarin. Because Kevin Feige has already confirmed that they will actually reveal who the Mandarin is. So the real Mandarin.
I'm good with that.
But hang on. That implies there's another Iron Man? Question mark?
Nope.
Just Mandarin rolling solo?
So it says Reeves would be an ideal Mandarin character regardless of whether Tony Stark is in the movie because Mandarin is also one of the main people in Shang-Chi. And they are already making a Shang-Chi movie in, 2023.
Shang-Chi is.
Basically.
I'm guessing it's a Doctor Strange thing?
No. You said it earlier. Iron Fist.
Okay. All right.
I think she's, the female version of Iron Fist. And she has, a Daibo. Okay. She's, that big stick. Moon Knight. Obviously, as we've said. Kraven the Hunter.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like that we're checking off the same box as Marvel is.
And they say, not Spider-Man, but the villain in Black Panther 2,
Oh.
Okay.
I'm down with that. The only like catch that here is
they're already filming Black Panther 2.
Sony, no. Sony confirmed that Kraven will be a part of their cinematic universe at some point.
Good jumps.
Kang the Conqueror?
I don't know how he pulls off a purple face and... Or a green face and purple suit. That's a
dude. If we're worried about blonde hair, yeah, I feel like purple face.
Yeah.
But so, then again, stand by. Then again, Josh Brolin pulled off the purple face just fine. But I think Josh.
So the reasoning for this is we speculated that after Avengers Endgame, they may be setting the stage for world-ending like stuff like. Eternals, Galactus.
Because, I mean, snapping your fingers and just getting rid of half the population is not enough.
Right.
We need world ending.
Yeah, gotcha. We need things that consume entire worlds. So Silver Surfer.
Except that then you're just relying on his voice acting.
The Beyonder? The Beyonder is one of Marvel's weirdest and most flamboyant of its villains. He basically he's a walking 80s relic of nostalgia with a gaudy suit and a Jerry Curl hairdo.
No, just keep rolling.
So they said that the Beyonder was featured in Secret Wars.
And, OG?
Yeah. And so they had already talked about it. And then the last rumor is Adam Warlock. Who is the twisted dark half Magus that has been teased in Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2? Honestly, the two that I like the most are Kraven. And
Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Moon Knight. Yeah.
Because, like, could you imagine, like, a rated R Deadpool, not style, but, like, level of. Like, if you took John Wick. Like, the level of violence in a John Wick movie and put that in a Marvel movie, like, it's not going to be for everybody.
Right.
But I'd certainly see that shit.
Definitely.
And especially, like, if for people like Brian who are not super big fans of Kanunu, like, putting him in under a cape and a cowl kind of fixes that because you don't have to see him a whole bunch.
Well... I don't know much about Moon Knight, but this kind of makes me want to go get some Moon Knight comics and
read a little. I think Bendis did a run on Moon Knight.
Doesn't he have like multiple personalities? I'm pretty sure.
Let's find out. Moon Knight. Moon Knight is a fictional superhero. Published by Marvel Comics, created by Doug Minich and Don Perlman. First appeared in Werewolf by Night number 32 in 1975. He is his alter ego is Mark Spector. He's an expert detective. He's proficient in martial arts and armed combat, and he has increased strength, endurance, agility. Depending on the stages of the lunar cycle.
So Batman without the moon.
Fucking shocking.
Yeah. I'm still kind of down with telling a Punisher story we haven't seen.
Honestly, right now, Kraven is like literally the best one, I think.
Except I don't dig Spider-Man, so it's
tough for me. Yeah, but if it's a Black Panther 2 villain instead of a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
And they find him like in the jungles of Wakanda.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Like it opens with him on a fucking safari,
just sniping lions.
Just killing.
No. You get him out there. You get him primal. He's just got a loincloth and a fucking javelin. He's just. All right. I've thought about this way too much now, haven't I?
So. Does Ron Weasley
Rupert Grint
into this
Rupert
at Grint. All? Yeah. All right, what's the beer of the pod, boys?
I don't know. That's
tough. Do we have the Pompeii?
That's what you're drinking right now.
And wearing.
And beer.
To me, I dug the Pompeii quite a bit.
It's pretty good, man. It's
Pompeii
really good.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I expected it to be.
That would be my second.
Mind Haze was second, but Pompeii was tasty.
Very tasty.
All right.
Okay. If you want to find us, we are at Portographic PC on Twitter, Portographic Podcast on Facebook, Portographic on SoundCloud, and if you want to email us, it is trashpandaradio@gmail.com.
And that is 50 issues, guys.
50 in under 2 years.
Well, I mean, we haven't beat Tom King, but we're working on it.
Stay tuned for 100.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, everybody. All right. Hashtag break. Hashtag.